Hello, hello, and good afternoon. Hope that you all are having a great afternoon, and I would like to share with you a little bit today about giving. And sometimes, you know, the expression is, give till it hurts. And some people really don't want to hear about giving, and it hurts them just to listen to it. But come on, just bear with me for a little bit. You know, if God said a bunch of good things about it, that certainly we can learn some good things from it, and it will make your life better. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that's the main chapter for today, so you might want to be studying on that in the future. But in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "This I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." This is a general proverb of life, is it not? And therefore, if the Apostle Paul thought it was good to give, and he ought to know about giving his life over and over again in emulation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself more than any of us could ever imagine, then let's go ahead and likewise be givers and thus make ourselves more like God himself. God's a giver, and he loves people to be givers themselves. It says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, "Every man according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." There's all kinds of good things to be done by your money. Now, your time is also, of course, needed. You're volunteering for different ministries in the Lord's church. But make sure, first and foremost, whatever monies you give and whatever time you give, it's in service unto the truth, that is, truly to Jesus Christ, and not to some man-made religion or some denominational outfit that doesn't even know what they're saying. Make sure that you're giving your time and your efforts to that which is only authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, book, chapter, and verse. And we're persuaded that we're doing that at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. But now you consider this. God wants his people to be givers. Well, what are they going to accomplish by that? Well, you see capitalistic advertisements out all the time. Everything from advertising fast food joints to hotels and places to stay and things like that. Surely, if they can get the word out about them, we can get the word out about the church. What keeps us from doing it? Your money. The fact that you kept it in your pocket. Don't you want blessings to come from God upon you? God is a great giver, and he does return all the blessings that we get. No, not necessarily in the form of, more money. Look, giving in church is not some get-rich-quick scheme like they would teach on some 30-minute infomercial on TV. You know, you don't just put in, $10, $100, whatever, in the collection plate, and then the Lord promises you within X amount of weeks or months that you'll get, so many thousands back or something. That's not the way it works. There are eternal benefits to be found in helping other souls get to heaven and in giving as God says that we ought to. Listen once again, God himself is a giver, and he is able to bless those who are givers themselves. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. What does it say about God? As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God wants us to make sure that we abound unto every good work, and part of those good works is giving. Well, if God wants us to give, then exactly what is it that keeps people from giving? The plate is passed on Sunday, and you're holding back. Why are you keeping it back from God? You think that nobody needs it, that the Lord's work doesn't need it? Once again, if you're in a religious organization and you don't believe in what they're teaching or what they're doing, why are you there? And if you're going to be there and you're not going to give it your all, then once again, what good are you doing in it? So we want to make sure that there are no barriers to our giving. So what is it that keeps us from giving like we ought to then? Well, it may be that somebody's not in an organization that they believe in, but if they're in the true New Testament church, then they ought to be willing to give. And if they don't, it's probably got to do with their own materialism. It says in Matthew chapter 12, and as you look down, going through chapters 12 and then travel on into chapter 13, he starts telling stories or parables to the people. And in chapter 13, he gets down to the point where he's talking in the middle of the parable about the different kinds of, hearts that you have out there and where the seed is sown into the heart and how they're going to receive the gospel. "He that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world," now get it now, "the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." This is why people don't give. They just let it get choked out by materialism. What are you going to do with that greenback? You think it's going to save your soul? Certainly not. What are you going to do with it? Go out and buy a bigger sandwich so that you can put on an extra pound or two? Come on. You don't need it that bad. Give it up. Give it to the Lord. It's about time. You've kept it too long. It's been in Satan's use too long. It's time to give it over to the Lord. Stories told of old Brother David Lipscomb, the one after whom David Lipscomb University is named, over in Nashville. And old Brother Lipscomb, he had the devil get after him and try to get him from giving like he ought to. Story is told that Brother Lipscomb decided, well, I'm going to put a stop to this, so he gave twice as much. And you know what? The devil quit bothering him about what he had purposed to give then, because he knew that if he bothers Brother Lipscomb about it, then old David Lipscomb was just going to give another added jolt to the devil and say, well, look, there you go. That'll teach you to get me to be worried about money. So your time and your money, I know they're precious. But the Lord gives us a precious job to do. And that job cannot be done unless he uses our hands, our feet, our time, and yes, our money. And so you look in the Bible and you understand now why it says that God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't want you to look at it as some awful chore and it's going down into a void and you don't know what's happening with it. If you're a part of the Lord's church, you should know exactly what's happening because the church is open and above board about everything. You should know exactly what's going on with the money, and you should have an input into exactly how things are happening there and be prayerful about it and, you know, just kind of be worked up about all the good things that could be happening because of what you are helping. Mission works, local work, benevolent work, everything because you are a cheerful giver. There's a Greek word from that word cheerful there. It's what's found in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It's hilarious. Now, the idea is we get from hilaros our English word hilarious. And that doesn't mean that when you give it on Sunday, you're like, hey, I'm going to give it all, you know, and you're just chuckling and all that. What it does mean, though, is that you are cheerful about it. It isn't something where you're like, oh, man, do I have to give again? No, you give because God gives you opportunity to. It's a way to express the grace that has been bestowed upon you by God himself. And so if you look in the book of Mark, there is an example given unto us about how that people can give, not just of the abundance that they have, but even sacrificially. In Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41, Jesus tells a little story which is so instructive and so inspirational to all of us. Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now think about that for a moment. She put in two mites, which make a farthing. It may not have been a whole lot of money back then, even, you know, when they used those different terms and coins and all that. It didn't amount to a whole bunch. A lot of people had more money than that. But that wasn't the point, was it? Jesus called unto him his disciples, verse 43, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Isn't that great? What a faithful lady. What a lady of unbridled faith, saying, Lord, you need this, and you'll provide for me, and I'm going to give it unto you. Jesus said she gave more than all of those. And he didn't fuss at her for being a bad financial planner. He didn't fuss at her because she didn't know exactly how to set a budget and keep it and everything. Instead, even though the Lord does tell us to plan on our giving, as you go back there and read what Paul said to the Corinthians, she, out of her want, wanted to give that. And so she did. And so don't give God the scraps. Don't give him just whatever is left over. But instead, give God what you put your heart into. The situation people get into today is deplorable. They say, well, I got married. I got to, you know, keep the wife happy and everything. Or the wife says, well, you know, I'm interested in doing this and that for the children and whatever. Well, you may have all of these concerns, but your first and foremost concern is to give unto God. In the Old Testament, they gave a tithe, did they not? And yet people today think they can give far, far less than any kind of tithe or 10% unto God. And they act like God's going to be happy with that. Make sure that God comes first and foremost, and do what you plan to do in giving unto him, and God will bless you because of it. I don't hardly ever preach on giving, you see, over the air and things like this, but it's all over the Bible. Make sure that you listen to what the Lord says about it, and remember, God loves a cheerful giver. I want to thank you for listening to the radio broadcast today. And if you want to learn more about giving unto the Lord and all the good works that are being done by what is given at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, then come by and see us. And you'll learn all about the church. We'll be open and give you any kind of information that you'd like to know about. And just want you to come by and see us whenever you can. You have an open invitation. So keep on listening to this radio broadcast. And maybe we can say some more about giving in the future. Thank you. For the Mount Gilead Church, I'm Tim McHenry.